Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We come to the end of our series looking at what the church is and why we are here. It's the end of the series, not because this is all there is to say on the subject, but because I'm not recording next week, and then the week after that is the first Sunday of Lent. But anyway, for the final talk in this series, we'll be looking at the fact that the church is the family of God. And we're going to be jumping around different parts of the Bible as we consider what it means for us to be the family of God. The reason that the church is called the family of God is because we have been adopted by God. In Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." The legal act of adoption was not actually practiced by Jews, so Paul uses the imagery of the Greco-Roman practice, where a man could formally give a non-blood relative all the legal rights and privileges of a birth child. And this is what God does for us. He gives us all the rights and privileges of being his child. This is why Paul speaks of us being heirs and co-heirs with Jesus. Through what Jesus has done for us and through the Spirit dwelling within us, we can now call God Abba, Father. What an amazing privilege. But as with all things, when we have privileges and rights, it also comes with responsibilities. We are called God's family, and so we are also invited to act as God's family. But what does that mean for us practically? Well, firstly, God intends for us to grow. Just like God intends us to grow physically under the love and provision of our earthly families, so too does God want us to grow under the love and provision of our heavenly family. First and foremost, God wants us to know love, his love for us and our love for others. Without love, children do not grow well. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. God's love for us is unconditional and it is limitless. While in this life it is not possible to truly grasp how wide and long and high and deep God's love is, God still wants us to know as much of his love as possible. And he also wants us to love and support one another. Recognizing God's love gives us the ability to love with his love, to love others as he loves us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and then verses 16 and 8 to 18, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." God's love for us is so great that he lived a human life and died an agonizing death for our sakes. And we are called to love one another as God loves us. That's what makes us the family of God. We may not need to lay down our lives for someone else, but we certainly do see our brothers and sisters in need. So how do we behave as family to one another? How do we show our love for each other? And how about when we need support? Do you need support in your life? And do your brothers and sisters know that you need support? So often we come to church and we put on this brave face, pretending we're all fine, when it feels like our worlds are crumbling apart. Let us learn to share our needs with one another, and let us support each other through these things. Part of growing up and loving one another also includes discipline. If you don't discipline a child well, they don't learn boundaries and they don't know how to grow into a responsible adult. And in fact, they live in such insecurity because they don't know where the boundaries are. And likewise, we need to accept discipline as a child of God and a member of his family. In Hebrews 12, verses 5b to 11, we are reminded, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Let us learn how to accept discipline from God. Sometimes it comes directly from God, but often, other times, it comes from fellow Christians. If your brother or sister gives you words of caution and discipline, be humble enough to accept them with grace. And if you are the one trying to give those words of discipline, speak only what God calls you to say, and speak out of a place of love and genuine compassion for the other. God wants us to grow, to find love in him, to listen to his discipline, so that we stay walking on the right path. God also wants us to succeed. In a family, parents want to see their children thrive and succeed in the things they do. That's why we always have things like award ceremonies and achievement certificates. Well, God wants us to succeed and thrive too. But his understanding of success is not the same as the world's understanding. For God, success looks like becoming more Christ-like. In Philippians 2, Paul calls us to have the same mindset of Christ. He says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from being from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Success in God's view is to have the same humility, love, and obedience as Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, he showed us what life looks like in God's kingdom. If we want to succeed in the kingdom of God, we need to imitate Christ, to walk in his footsteps and follow his example. Of course, this is only remotely possible because the Spirit lives in our heart and he guides us. He transforms us moment by moment so that we reflect more of God. Let's listen to the Spirit's guidance and follow him when he instructs us to act. Success in God's kingdom is based on the development of our character and attitude. How is your character and attitude reflecting Christ? Is there something the Spirit is highlighting for you to pay attention to? How can we, as the family of God, work on our character together? Encouraging each other to follow Christ and helping us see when we're not reflecting Christ. In earthly families, people will often comment, "Oh, you're just like your father," or "You remind me of your mother when you do that." I want people to recognise Christ in us when they meet us, even if they don't know that it is Christ they are seeing. Which leads me nicely onto the final responsibility that we have as a member of the family of God. We are called to expand the family, to tell others that they can be adopted by God just like we have been. The famous verses in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." God wants the whole world to know about him, and he has asked us to play our role in expanding this family. This is what success looks like in God's view. For more and more people to come into his family, to be transformed, to live more the Christ-like lives that he wants us to live. How are you playing your part in telling people about God? Are you willing to tell the stories of how God makes a difference in your life? Maybe even just start with not just telling people that you went to church, but what was special, what God said to you that day. Let's be active in expanding God's family. So to conclude, the church is the family of God because God has adopted us through Jesus' sacrifice. Now we can call God Abba, Father, and Jesus our brother. As part of the family of God, he wants us to grow, for us to know God's love and to love one another, and for us to listen to his discipline. And he wants us to have success. Success in becoming more Christ-like through the Spirit transforming us. And success in expanding God's family by telling others about him. So let us be the family of God together. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have adopted us into your family. And we pray that you will help us to grow in knowledge of you, to grow in knowledge of your love, and that that love may spread to the way that we love others. Help us too to listen to your discipline, to follow your path, and to be corrected when we start moving away. And Lord, we long to be successful in becoming more and more like you, and successful in expanding your family by telling others about you. Lord, in your mighty name we pray. Amen.